Hello there, and welcome to the first episode of the Bird Gang Blitz. I'm your co-host, Blake Murphy. You can follow me on Twitter, at BlakeMurphy7. I'm joined today by my co-host, the venerable John Venerable, also known as at Johnny's Football. And we decided we wanted to get together and start a podcast to talk about the Cardinals, the NFL draft, reviewing the season, and just kind of take a look at the present and the future. So that's kind of the quick 30-second elevator pitch for that. We're hoping to offer eventually two shows a week during the season. First show will kind of recap the game. And the second show will be more of a draft and long-term focus. We'll get into a little bit of college football, talk a little bit about the future of some of the Cardinals players who could replace them, and overall just kind of about Steve Keim. We'll be looking at that from a draft perspective. So, without further ado, Johnny, how are you doing, sir? And what are your thoughts on the first two games we have of the Cardinals season, which, let's be honest, are a little bit not quite living up to expectations?
Yeah, you know what? Boy. The season couldn't have started with any more promise in terms of internally. I think this team thought it had solved a lot of what plagued them a year ago. From a national perspective, I think this was the team that most thought would be somewhere around the 8-8 mark to potentially a wild card team. Didn't see them overtaking the Seahawks, especially after the Sheldon Richardson move. But, you know, you talk about a game in which, you know, everything that could go wrong did, and the fact that it had been several years since the Cardinals had suffered a defeat at the hands of the Lions. I think Matthew Stafford had never beaten the Cardinals before, and so the Cardinals were actually a favorite going into that game, and everything just kind of unraveled after the first couple series for them offensively. They just looked so out of sync, which is quite the contrary, because Carson looked great in the preseason. I think a lot of us were thinking that maybe his new offseason regimen with the lack of throwing was helping, because in comparison to his preseason in 2016, he looked much more fresh. I thought his throws were great. I thought the third preseason game, he looked incredibly sharp, and it was just the complete opposite. You talk about a Detroit defense that is pretty average in their front seven outside of Deontay, and they were getting consistent pressure on an offensive line that looks much of the same last year. And then with Humphreys going down, and of course the big blow to David Johnson, it was just kind of a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, I totally agree that when you talk about starting off the season, coming in, it looked like the team was healthy for the first time in a long time. And you started to see guys dropping like flies and old issues seeming to come back with you, Potty's injury, John Brown still being out. I'll move on a little bit to the Colts game as far as for just taking a look at how so many people projected that the Cardinals were going to come into Indy and just kind of jack stomp the Colts, and that didn't happen at all. In fact, they were down just from the very get-go, it seemed. And it took them up until the fourth quarter before they were able to compose themselves and rally back. And just seeing the way that Carson Palmer has played over the last 2 weeks when he's been outplayed by just like these quarterbacks are bad. He's got a worse quarterback rating than guys like Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, and even Mike Glennon, who Chicago Bears fans have been begging for him to get benched. Just seeing that and how Palmer's play has affected the whole team, where it's just not exactly the start that you've wanted, and it's not the start that people envisioned. But this is kind of where we are now, and this is kind of where the Cardinals dealt their lot by not really having that much depth on the offensive line, by trusting older veterans, not really addressing the number two wide receiver position outside of John Brown.
Well, I think they really did a detriment to the roster by not investing in a quarterback of the future in the previous two or three drafts. You remember when Keim and Aarons took over, Keim specifically stated that he'd like to take a quarterback every year. So far, he's taken one in Logan Thomas in 2014, and he was with the team all of one season. But, yeah, you look at where this team was. This was a very fragile team. You're relying on a quarterback who is probably the most immobile quarterback in the National Football League at 38 years old. I know he had a nice second half of the 2016 season, but again, often injured. The offensive line, you don't see a lot of major upgrades on that unit. You're hoping for some of the guys to develop, like a DJ Humphreys, like an Evan Bame. But you know what you have with Mike Iupati on the downside of his career, asking Jared Vildy to play a new position at right tackle. You didn't upgrade your receiving core in the sense that Larry Fitzgerald's a year older and pending retirement. John Brown, you would hope, at some point gets healthy this year and had a nice training camp, but again, can't shake the injury bug, and who knows if that's the cause of some underlying health issues like the sickle cell. J.J. Nelson is a quality backup, potentially maybe a number, you know, a low end number two receiver, but nobody who's ready to scare defenses week in and week out. So all the resources this team continues to make goes on the defensive side, and that's great. But you had a top 10 defense last year. What you had was an offense that was greatly missing on some key superstar playmakers outside of David Johnson, and they just completely whiffed on adding those kind of guys. And so what you have is now you've got an old quarterback who can't move and suddenly doesn't have his best player at running back.
And that's really what Steve Keim made the choice to invest in the defense, rebuilding a down defense that really struggled at times last year. You saw the guys like Marcus Cooper, Kevin Minter, even Calais Campbell, obviously, is the biggest name. All those guys left and walked away. So you saw him really devote the time and attention to trying to add playmakers in that defense, which the good news, at least for some Cardinals fans, even though it all seems really down, is that Tom Reddick has looked spectacular so far in his first week. And Buda Baker was a playmaker last week on special teams and even got in some of the snaps as far as for when the Colts split out wide. But when you're looking at how poorly the offense has made, the fact that Keim chose to kind of keep the defense rolling and trust that the offense would be is really starting to bite the Cardinals in the butt. They just really have not been able to run the football. They've not been able to really even pass the football effectively. The deep game, especially, it seems like right now when you're looking at the Cardinals' offense, they don't really have an identity outside of J.J. Nelson right now. Originally, it was going through David Johnson. It's going through Larry Fitzgerald. It's going through John Brown. And then it was having Jermaine Gresham as kind of that fourth option in the middle of the field. And right now, they really have not been able to get anything out of it. Even Fitzgerald has had several drops and just not looked effective at all compared to how he was last year. So the Cardinals are just in a world of hurt right now. And it's tough because you can look at the draft and say there's an opportunity cost. Whenever you draft on defense, you're ignoring on offense. But when you're talking about the defense, it really doesn't seem like that the investment that the Cardinals have made on defense has really been worth what the price of having that quarterback on the roster would have been. And that's, I think, the big question that leads into the next topic is, what does kind of the future hold for the quarterback position? I mean, there's people already talking about benching Palmer. I think that's clearly either an overreaction, especially considering how Drew Stanton is not meant to be that guy who will start playing and competing and will pass down for, like, carrying the team the rest of the year because Palmer's not doing well. And then with Blaine Gabbert, you just don't see a guy who, if you're going to take him from a team and try to take him and put him on the Cardinals to sit for a year, to learn the offense, not take the hits behind the bad offensive line, try to develop him, whether that's for a backup or being a stopgap guy in case you end up running out of options. It doesn't make any sense to me to basically then put him into that same poor situation that he's just come out of. So you're kind of at this point married to Palmer. He chose to be married to Palmer, and you're kind of paying the price a little bit for it if this continues to be the Carson Palmer we see the whole season long.
Yeah, terrific point all around, Blake. And, you know, I would add to that that what you have with Blaine Gabbert is you have hopefully a Drew Stanton for the next 3 to 4 years, assuming Bruce Arians is going to be your head coach. You have somebody who can come in, win you a handful of games if the rest of the roster is steady, especially on the defensive end, like you saw in 2014 when Stanton came in and went 5-2 and helped lead the Cardinals to the playoffs. But that's all you're going to get at that point. Anybody who thinks that Blaine could come in now and turn the Cardinals season around is just lunacy. The only area in which he probably has on Palmer right now is his mobility, and then probably has a little bit better arm strength, but has never shown to be a precision passer, has made mind-boggling decisions from an interception standpoint over his career, and just, you know, doesn't have the depth and the experience that Carson has. Granted, Carson's skills have clearly eroded. So I don't expect Carson or Drew Stanton to be on this team next year, and quite frankly, this could be it for Blaine as well if Arians decides to hang it up, which a lot of people are speculating that could be the case. But in terms of the future of the quarterback position, I think that based on how strong this quarterback class is supposed to be in 2018, you know, I've got probably six guys I think could go in the top 50 right now, and then especially three or four in the top 10 based on what they're doing early on in this season in college football. I think it would be a detriment to this franchise to not pull the trigger. Now, with that being said, if this team plays around 500 for most of the season, they're not going to be able to get one of those top-tier quarterbacks because of the fact that teams like the Buffalo Bills, teams like the New York Jets, teams like the San Francisco 49ers figure to be picking in front of them. And on top of that, and I know people want to talk about the Cardinals' plethora of comp picks, they don't have anything in terms of the draft value or the draft haul that some of these teams have in terms of picks next year. These teams have been stockpiling picks to move up for a quarterback in the 2018 draft. So the only way the Cardinals are getting Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, assuming that, you know, he tests well and everybody thinks he could be a franchise quarterback, a kid from Wyoming, maybe a Luke Falk, is if they were to be a poor enough team where they can get him in their original draft slot. I can't see them having the ammunition to trade up unless they want to gut their draft for the next 4 or 5 years. So it's an unfortunate spot to be in.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think last year at pick number 13, there were fans kind of who were crying out for looking at a Pat Mahomes. Some were even looking at a Deshaun Kaiser. Others are taking a look at a Deshaun Watson. Or depending on how the late rounds went, some people had wondered if Mitch Trubisky was the guy who was going to be there at 13. And it turned out that three of the quarterbacks all went before the Cardinals picked at 13, and that wasn't considered a quarterback class that wasn't supposed to be as good as this one. Some teams, like the Buffalo Bills, punted on that class just looking for this 2018 class to be kind of the time they choose our guy. So it's just kind of with Arizona, whenever you talk about tanking, it's something that the word doesn't really exist. I think it's Steve Kime, Bruce Arians. And one thing at least that's admirable about that is that it shows the culture change of the Arizona Cardinals. It shows that they're at least committed to winning. But then the question you have to look at is just how lucky you have to be in the NFL to be able to find one of those franchise quarterbacks. The fact that the Colts basically end up having one of the worst seasons they've ever had, the exact year that Andrew Luck happened to be the number one pick available, the fact that the Buccaneers ended up looking like a promising team that would make the playoffs, and then they decided to supplement that with Josh McCown and Mike Glennon led them to a 1-15 record. And then they got Jameis Winston. It's just kind of one of those areas where you never know when you're going to end up having one of those down seasons, but there's always the possibility that you end up having to have that in the wrong year. Right now we've seen it with this quarterback class. It looks like it's going to be much improved, but there's still never a guarantee for how it works out. With Lamar Jackson, a lot of people are looking at him as a potentially like improved passer as Michael Vick, but there's still ultimately questions about not just durability, but you know, those questions about whether he can hit those one-on-one routes or be accurate enough to be able to take advantage of one-on-one coverage. There's questions about Darnold's throwing motion and whether he'll even declare. And Josh Rosen has a whole lot of questions as well. So it's an area where you talk about being able to find that future guy, and so much of the factor comes into the situation that they'll have coming out. And that's kind of the biggest concern you could have as far as Arizona when you look at how their offensive line is structured and how much money they've paid to these aging vets and the fact that you really haven't gotten as much out of your first-round pick from DJ Humphries because he's barely seen the field. And Robert Condici is just only, after sitting for a whole year, is just kind of starting to make his first couple of plays. So you're just kind of talking about a Cardinals team that is really going to have to gut their entire offense. And because of the way that they've been built trying to win now, you're really not going to see, as you said, the amount of resources that will be willing to commit. But it's going to come down ultimately to whether the Cardinals are going to have to pay that iron price that the Kansas City Chiefs paid this year. They moved up from pick 27 to pick number 10, cost them 2 firsts and a 3rd, which if you're talking about the Cardinals, that's taking, you know, Buda Baker and Hassan Reddick and potentially even Chad Williams off the field for you, not to mention the fact that if you did decide to make that trade, you might even have to pay more if there's another team who was there. And when you start talking about those bidding wars, you just also have to worry about there's times you can have the Mark Sanchez's of the world, or there's times when teams can trade up for that guy who's a can't-miss prospect. And that's the whole thing where it comes down to is with the Cardinals is you want to make sure that you can have a sustainable situation for your future, and you also want to make sure that you're not, if you are going to, you know, roll the dice on a guy, you want to make sure that it's going to be a guy who works out. There's so many quarterbacks who come out like the best example I can think of in recent years is you talk about a can't-miss totally not going to be worried about prospect and Andrew Luck. And when you talk about the production, Seattle Seahawks take Russell Wilson in the 3rd round. And he's the one who's got the Super Bowl ring because he came into a team that had a strong offensive line, a lot of first-round picks there, a strong running game, and they were able to put together an elite defense by just getting super lucky. The Cardinals are even on the same path. it's about making sure you have that balance, I think, is all you're looking for as far as where if you're going to talk about having to trade up for one of those guys, it's not going to be the best way to build your team. Now, if you're saying the Cardinals have the top 5 pick, well, that's going to put things, as you said, into a completely different place.
Well, I agree with you in the sense that this team, in my opinion, cannot be major players for any of the free agent quarterbacks, assuming they hit the market like a la Kirk Cousins next offseason. And this is assuming Carson does retire. The way this team is going to have to operate in the next couple of years is they're going to have to find a cheap option at quarterback for 4 to 5 years through the draft because of the fact that Marcus Golden's going to be a free agent. He's going to demand big money. Dayon Buchanan needs a new contract. Assuming, you know, whatever happens with John Brown, do you try to give him a 1 to 2 year extension to get healthy? They've got a lot of impact defenders that they're going to have to pay. And then you look at the offensive side of the ball, David Johnson's going to need a contract extension. So this team and then you're going to have to probably reshape the offensive line in free agency because they've shown no ability to draft and develop an offensive lineman, that you're going to have to overpay for somebody probably on the interior offensive line like you did with Ayupati just to make that unit serviceable. So, again, I think this team would have been better off passing on Hassan Reddick, trading up for Patrick Mahomes in this draft. That way, if this is a lost season and Carson Palmer has the eroding skills that he's shown so far, and you're off to a 2-5, a 3-7 start, at least get Mahomes a couple snaps to have some momentum going into 2018. You can go through the entire offseason as the starter. Now you're probably going to be without your quarterback. You're going to be without Larry Fitzgerald, the face of the franchise for the last decade and a half, and potentially without Bruce Arians, and you're not going to know who your starting quarterback is. This is going to be very similar to the offseason of 2012 to 2013, even though Keim will still obviously be here, but you're going to be looking for a head coach. You're going to be looking for a franchise quarterback. And where he comes from, I believe you've kind of backed yourself in a corner. You're going to be like the Houston of last year, where they went into the draft knowing we have to get somebody to take snaps for us because Tom Savage is not the answer, and they traded up for Deshaun Watson. Now, I didn't like him for the Cardinals. I don't think he's got an NFL arm, but at the same time, the teams are going to know, they knew this year, that the Cardinals are desperate for the future. And I think it was just a huge mistake not investing resources and getting somebody to put behind Palmer. And, you know, we've talked about it before, Blake, that Arians has said a quality rookie quarterback will – probably reignite his love for the game, will rejuvenate him to the point where maybe he'll coach a couple more years and he's got some reason for optimism. You've got a young defense that hopefully should improve. You've got David Johnson. And then what if you had Patrick Mahomes and some, you know, secondary wide receivers, you go in the offseason, that's not terrible. Suddenly your offensive line doesn't look like a huge liability because of the fact that they can't pass protect for 5 seconds for Palmer, and Mahomes can scramble around and make plays. I think that was a huge missed opportunity. I think it's going to be something that haunts this franchise going into the next offseason, to the point where I think that they'll probably make a play for a cheap veteran and give him the opportunity to win the job. They did with Drew Stanton, but then be aggressive in the draft, not show their hands and go get somebody. But, you know, looking at Arians, and if he's gone, I know it's really early to speculate, you know, what does that next quarterback look like? What does this offensive system look like? We could have a completely different offensive system depending on who takes the job, assuming that it's going to be an offensive coach. So, a lot of question marks with, you know, 14 games left in this regular season just shows you how in flux this team is. And I go back to the vulnerability of this team before the season started. And you needed a lot of things to go right for this team to compete for a championship this year. And the fact that, you know, you lose David Johnson, he's a tremendous player. He's my favorite player on offense. I love to watch him every Sunday. But, you know, does a championship contender go from, you know, a playoff team, solid playoff team, to, you know, a team that's going to be picking in the top 5 to 10 if they lose their star running back? How strong is the rest of that team if you lose David Johnson and suddenly you're one of the worst teams in football? That doesn't say much about your team to begin with. So I don't buy that this team was ever a Super Bowl contender, and I think that was Keim and Arians probably valuing their own players too much. And it's unfortunate because I think it's going to cost some people their jobs.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And when you talk about a team like the Chiefs and you look at how they've built their team up through the draft with young players, that's been a huge plus to be able to see how they're able to give up and acquire enough resources to be able to trade up for Patrick Mahomes. And you're talking with the Cardinals with Bruce Arians and Steve Keim, they really just tried and thought and believed in their quarterback, and they believed in their team, and they believed in the veterans that they had, and they just did not evaluate well, and they haven't found that they had the biggest trap, which you can fall into in the NFL, which is you trust aging veterans to kind of take care of your team and tide over and you don't replace the talent that you lose. And that's been the biggest area, at least for the Cardinals. If some of their players had stepped up, we were able to see more of the guys like Kandichi, you've been able to see signs from, if DJ Humphreys had been able to come in as a rookie tackle, or if you've been able to see more of John Brown. J.J. Nelson's been able to kind of develop somewhat, but this is still year three, and you're still talking about trying to find that guy to go opposite of Larry Fitzgerald for, seems like every single year since Anquan Boldin's left. There's just so much, at least with the Cardinals, where part of the reason we thought that there was such a perfect time to draft a quarterback to trade up for one this year. And I think that with another part you can look at, too, is it wasn't maybe even just about paying the price for Mahomes, but the team decided to pass on to Sean Kizer, a guy who really does fit Arians' scheme well for a second-round pick, at least. Wouldn't have been that much of a flop if he does end up going down. And then that way you at least have one of those future guys on the roster to look at. Instead, they decided to go with a guy like Blaine Gabbert. I know there's been some interest as far as with Blake Bortles. It's been reported with the Cardinals, and a lot of media are speculating that he might end up there still, but that's still just kind of trying to keep going through these reclamation projects. And sure, you can hit a Warner and a Palmer, but for every Warner or Palmer you're going to hit, you're going to end up running into the guy. So I think the worst thing that could really happen with this Cardinals team is that if you look at Palmer and Fitzgerald leaving, Arians decides that he wants to stay around, would be to just kind of settle by trading for an Alex Smith type. There, you're really just not going to end up seeing any type of improvement, because you know already that you're kind of getting the same type of a quarterback, where you're not going to get that superstar who's going to carry your team so much as just make sure you don't lose enough games. You'll probably still be in the playoffs, but it's more just kind of putting off the inevitable. I think that's kind of the big thing that Cardinals fans want to see, is they want to see Keim and Arians be able to take that rookie quarterback, to be able to go ahead and draft, develop, and be able to find that next franchise player, because there is some upside for this team moving forward. You talk about Seattle with their offensive line being just like a train wreck, and look at how their defense is aging. Well, Arizona keeps bringing in younger star players like Reddick, Baker, Matthew Peterson are still young. Chandler Jones is still quite young. Marcus Golden looks like he's going to be a star pass rusher for years. Just with that linebacking core, Dale Buchanan is still, I believe, like not even 26 years old yet. So you're starting to talk about how this is a defense that at the core is young, and the offense, which is exactly the opposite. And so that's part of where, when you don't have that young quarterback on the roster, it just becomes really, really tough to be able to not only manage the cap, but to be able to see kind of a future for the team. And that's kind of the biggest area where your hope was that while Arians is here, he could find that young quarterback, be able to develop him, and be able to see the Cardinals turn into one of those teams like the Steelers or the Seahawks, or just a team that was competing every year. So the fact that they haven't addressed it is just something where we'll have to see going forward, because that is going to be the story of the season, is the Cardinals decided to address the hole that they had on defense, tried to compete, trusted Carson Palmer, and if it turns into a train wreck, which it hasn't hit that point just yet, the Cowboys game will be the big determinant of that. If this is a team that'll be, 8-8, if this is the team that'll maybe try to scrape to that point and then hope that when David Johnson comes back, they'll be able to get it, or if this is going to be one of those teams where you just get blown out by the Cowboys at home and you just start wondering just how many losses they're going to have. But that's basically the biggest thing I think with Cardinals fans, just they want to be able to have that knowledge of, even if we aren't going to win this season now, we don't want to have to sacrifice our future to win now. And that's what the whole point of GMing is about. And that's a lot of, I know, what our discussions on this podcast will be about, is just trying to look at things through a long-term lens of not just having to sacrifice or give up that future just for the cost of winning now. So far, what we've seen with Keim and Arians, they've done kind of that exact opposite.
Yeah, their philosophy was very much of a win-now mindset. And it's frustrating, I'm sure, for a lot of Cardinal fans going into this season, knowing that the team probably didn't have a great chance to compete for a championship, from a sense that, you know, Seattle reloaded on defense and presumably we're going to be better offensively, but that hasn't been the case. The Packers look like they're going to be a quality team again. The Atlanta Falcons, I mean, the Cardinals aren't in the tier of these teams, and I don't think the case could be made that they were even before David Johnson's injury, which is the frustrating part. I think everybody kind of assumed that they would be, you know, a fringe playoff team. And so that makes it all the more maddening that they didn't, you know, invest some kind of a resource, a day two pick at least, on a quarterback that you could at least give a look at. You look at how, you know, Dallas Cowboys backed their way into a franchise quarterback, presumably in Dak Prescott. And the fact that the Cardinals worked out Deshaun Kizer the week of the draft and flew Michael Bidwell out to see him in person, apparently we're not sold on him. and the Cleveland Browns are currently evaluating whether or not he can leave their franchise in the foreseeable future. But, I look at where this team is right now and where it's been during the Keim era and Arians era, and this is a team built around defense and really, other than 2015, has underachieved offensively. Now, I know Carson Palmer was hurt in 2014, but 2013, 2014, last year, and this year, they've all been average to below average offensive teams. The best offensive team, obviously, was in 2015. Now, last year, I know that they were top 10 in offense, but, Blake, you and I watched the games. That was not a quality offense for the majority of the year, especially in the first half of their schedule, which contained a lot of playoff teams. They were not a consistent offensive team. The defense fell apart in the second half of the year based on, how much they were being asked to play. But this has not been a top 10 consistent, high-flying offense that I think a lot of the Cardinal fans assume would come with Bruce Arians. They thought that the days of a statue quarterback standing in the pocket like John Skelton or even Kurt Warner to some effect would be gone, in the sense that we're going to get our Big Ben Roethlisberger, we're going to find a young quarterback who can make plays outside of the pocket, and we're going to have consistency with that position. And that just hasn't been the case. And so it's frustrating in the sense that they've had the capital, they've had the draft resources, but Keim has not shown the aggressiveness in the early rounds to give up future picks. And he's a quality GM. He's a top 5-10 GM in this league, but he's missed on some guys. Troy Nicholas hasn't panned out. Brandon Williams looks like he's going to be an average player. Kareem Martin is just a rotational guy. Those are first, second, third round players. Not to mention Humphreys and Kim Dichie right now are not looking overly promising when you compare them to some of the other guys that were drafted around them. So you think about the fact that, okay, the quarterbacks that are available are all gambles, in the sense that, it depends on what system they go to, who gets them, who develops them. I would like to lean on the fact that my coach considers himself a quarterback whisperer. He just titled his first book that. And he's got Tom Moore with him. And you've got Steve Keim, who shows you that he'll invest in offensive personnel in terms of the offensive line, and he'll spend draft picks on quality receivers and running backs. But when is the quarterback coming? And I think that this team and this franchise has been starved for one since, Jim Hart in the 70s, and, you had Plummer in the 90s, but those guys were not, elite signal callers. And so you've gone through a plethora of free agent and journeyman quarterbacks, and you caught lightning in a bottle with Kurt Warner. And I would even say that you did the same with Carson Palmer to the extent it's made you viable again. But it's time to take that next step and be on the attempt to be on that same level of playing field with the Seahawks, with the Falcons, with the Packers, with the Raiders now, with the Chiefs, that have, these quarterbacks that are able to carry you week in and week out. And we've seen what Alex Smith this year with a fire lit under him. Who knows, Carson Palmer might be playing a little bit better if there was a Patrick Mahomes sitting behind him.
Definitely, yeah, that's been a big area. Well, that should basically wrap it up for us here. We've got about 60 seconds left or so on the allotment. I'll go ahead and end the episode, and I think if we want, we can probably go ahead and do a quick call-in if we want to continue at least for that within the discussion, because this has been great stuff. Well, yeah, I think
okay.
We'll sign off for now, and we'll take care, and I think we'll just go ahead and I'll start up a second one right up after.
All right, you want me to call back
in? Yeah, let's call back in. All right, I'm going to end the episode over here now and call on back.
All right, give me 2 minutes.